Okay.
This is Rusty Lacey. We're in the Navigators headquarters in Nairobi, Kenya. We will be looking at the subject of faithfulness today. Okay. So, looking at my notes here, how do you define faithful or faithfulness?
I think faithfulness goes with someone that I can trust with.
Okay.
Maybe an item, maybe some okay. secrets. Maybe
okay.
Something like that.
So, okay. What else? Because faithfulness is pretty, covers a number of aspects, actually.
Commitment to someone or something.
Hmm?
Commitment to someone.
Okay, commitment. So you had trust, commitment, what else?
Stewardship.
Stewardship, okay. I want to call out a few, if you want. You can write what we've already said down. I'll call out a few. Some additional definitions are strict or thorough in the performance of duty. I might not think of it that way, but strict or thorough in the performance of duty. You're faithful to get it done the way it needs to be done, basically. Second is true to one's words, promises, or vows. Okay. I'll just throw a group of words together. Reliable, trusted, believed. And... guys, I apologize. I thought I'd already handed them out. Let me give you these. I apologize. Take one, pass them out. I thought I'd already passed these out. I'm sorry. I know you've taken down those notes. You can just write them on here later. I apologize. And the last one I had was steady in allegiance or affection. Loyal, constant. Now I took these are just definitions that you find online. Okay, let's wait till everyone gets one of these. I apologize for the which you'll have to transcribe a little bit later. That I didn't get too much further down the pike.
Need one handout,
sir? Huh? Do you get one? Great. How are we doing on the handouts? Here we're going. Okay. Everyone got one now? Okay, great. One of the key points I wanted to make, which is on the handout here, after the definition, it begins with the word this. This faithfulness goes both for our everyday life and our relationship with God. It's not just, okay, God and forget about the people around me, or the people around me and forget about God. It's both. And I'd like to look at two verses on that. Who would like to look up 2 Corinthians 8:21? Go ahead. And I need Acts 24:16. Would you like it? When you get to 2 Corinthians 8:21, you can write those references on your notes if you want to. I didn't put them on there, but you can, I don't think, but you can add them.
2 Corinthians 8:21. Mm-hmm. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men.
Mm-hmm. So our faithfulness should encompass both all the things we may do related to God, and all the things that we do related to our everyday lives as we interact with families, work, other activities. Acts 24:16.
It says, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God.
For God and man. Okay? So, we have things to be faithful in as a Christian and as a responsible and respectable member of our society. Okay? That was kind of the point I wanted to make there. Now, we're going to look in this study of faithfulness at three consecutive parables of our Lord. We're not going to dig real deep into the parables and get all the nuances out of it. We're going to look at it as relationships to faithfulness, okay? And I kind of put each one in a similar deal on your notes here with these boxes. And we'll kind of fill these out as we go, okay? So I'm going to need someone to read what's often called the faithful and wise servant. Sorry. I can't remember all y'all's names. I'm sorry. I should remember yours of all people, though. Would you like to read for me Matthew 24, 45 through 51? Thank you.
Okay, 45 to 51. Mm-hmm. Matthew 24. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Okay. So let's go through what physically is happening here. What was the servant's responsibility? In what we just read, what was his responsibility?
Being in charge of other servants.
Yep. And to do what? To give?
To feed them.
Okay. So he had a job to do, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Okay. What does the faithful servant do?
He does that which he has been commanded to do with his master.
Okay. So the first blank on there under, you see we have areas. The faithful servant and the unfaithful servant. So the action is he does his duty or does what's required. Okay? Now, in contrast, what is on the actions, what does the unfaithful servant do? And we can be particular in this parable. What did he do? Okay. So instead of doing his duty, he beat the servants, gets drunk. So his behavior, he didn't do his duty. Right? Does the faithful servant, does he need to worry when and if his master returns?
No.
Okay. So we're going to fill that in. So let's go no on the action. Does the unfaithful servant need to worry?
Yes.
So let's put that in there. Okay. Now, rewards. What rewards the faithful servant going to have? He's going to be rewarded. He's going to get a nice reward, isn't he? Okay. What reward does the unfaithful servant receive? What reward is the unfaithful servant going to receive? He's going to be cut to pieces. Okay. So I wanted us to fill that out to kind of get what happens. What's set there. Now let's look a minute at the application. God has put you in charge of a number of things. They may change over time, but he's put you in charge of a number of things. What are they? Name some of them that you're in charge of.
Time.
What else?
Money.
Family.
Environment.
Your own self. Your own self.
I didn't catch it.
Your own self.
Yep, your own self. He could be in y'all's position, either a church or a ministry. You may have to. I've had to be in charge of a trust for another family member. So sometimes you have responsibility for family. Okay. If Jesus came today for a personal inspection, so let's say tomorrow morning at 8:30, instead of coming up here, you've got a meeting with Jesus, and we're going to do a personal inspection of your responsibility. Which of these two servants, you don't have to answer this, but which of these two servants are you going to most resemble? It's not really a funny question, because in reality we all stand... What does Hebrews 9:27 say? So at some point, we probably will have to account for things, won't we? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, are you taking care of your responsibilities daily? You can answer that for yourself. That's on your chart, your things here. Are you taking care of your responsibilities daily? And the next one, what do you think I'm going to put here? Are you blank to the point that people blank? What do you think I might have there? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 4:2. And hopefully I put the right reference down. I have been known occasionally to miss a few things. Whoever's got that, when you get there, just go ahead and read it.
1 Corinthians 4:2.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful.
Okay. So, are you trustworthy, is the word I have here, to the point that people trust you? Not that you think you're trustworthy, but do people trust you? Would people be worried if they left their wallet in your possession? Would they have to worry? Think about it. Or if they left some prized possession or their family member for you to take care of, would they have any concerns for how trustworthy you were? So this is a little introspection here. Okay. Now, we're going to move on to the next parable. The first one was on responsibility. We're going to look at the next parable here. And that's Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And why don't someone read about half of that, maybe 1 through 6, and someone read 7 through 13. So who'd like to read the first half? Okay, who'd like to read the second half? Okay, read on, sir.
The kingdom of heaven is like what happened one night to another. When 10 young men took their oil lamps and went to a wedding to meet the groom, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but no extra oil. The ones who were wise took along extra oil for their lamps. The groom was late arriving, and the young women became drowsy and fell asleep. Then in the middle of the night, someone shouted, "Here's the groom, come to meet him."
Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour.
Okay. I'm going to look at this in regard to faithfulness in general, not so much about the other parts, meaning of the parable as far as the kingdom of heaven itself, but I wanted to look at it from a faithfulness point of view. Okay? What, let's see what I get. What was the job of these 10 women?
Meet the bride. Meet the bride.
Yep. They were to wait and be ready when the bridegroom arrived. Okay. Now, what happened that caused a problem?
There. Bridegroom was late in coming.
Okay. The bridegroom was delayed a long time, right? Okay. Now, we're going to look at this from... Last time we looked at the actions of the person. This time we're going to look at the preparations of the person. Okay? We're going to go through this and fill out this little box I have for each one of these parables. So, what did the prepared women do?
They carried some things.
Okay. They carried extra oil, didn't they? I'm using prepared as a subset of faithfulness, okay? What did the unprepared women do? They did what?
Did not get extra oil.
Okay, they took no extra oil. They were not prepared, were they? So, let me see where I want to take this. Okay. Was everyone ready?
No,
they weren't, were they? Okay, only those who brought that extra oil were ready, right? So, did they have a need to worry, the prepared women? No. The unprepared women?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what reward or what happened to those prepared women? The prepared women came in and had a great banquet, didn't they? And the unprepared women had, well, doors shut in their face, but had no banquet, did they? They missed out on what was coming. So, do you, in being faithful, do you associate the preparations up front with faithfulness? Or only at the spur of the moment am I faithful? Think about it a minute. Okay? For example, do I get things done ahead of time, or do I wait to the last possible moment to do something? Okay? Any of y'all do the all-nighter just before before something's due? I've been there. It's not fun. I've been there. Have I missed opportunities, whether in my own life, for myself, or for the kingdom, because I'm not prepared? I'll share a story. I hadn't planned to do this, but I'll share a story. I wished when I was a little younger than y'all, probably. I was only maybe 18 or 19, and I was working in a restaurant that did a type of chicken. And the assistant manager had said something about he had done something to a quote unquote accept Christ or whatever, but there was no change in his life. And I thought, I did not have anything to say because I think I had misunderstood some of the things on eternal security, not realizing he had never really accepted Christ to begin with. But I was totally unprepared to share Christ or to help him. So I missed an opportunity. Okay? So when we're prepared both for our Christian faith and for our daily lives, we're being faithful. Faithful to God, to serve and stuff. Okay? So being prepared is part of faithfulness. Okay? So am I prepared, is what I, to be used by God or to better society? Or am I making preparations to be used by God? You know, we talked about scripture memory yesterday. You don't always have your Bible with you when you have a crisis come up. You don't, or maybe an opportunity to witness or to need peace, as I mentioned about my death of my daughter. Being prepared is very helpful. That's a good part of faithfulness. Let's read a couple of verses. Who would like to take 2 Timothy 2:15? You?
Memorize.
Quote it, please.
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, and correctly handles the word of truth.
Okay. It's a workman who's had no need to be ashamed. An unprepared workman oftentimes can be quite ashamed, right? So we need to be getting prepared if we're not prepared for things. What about 1 Peter 3:15? Someone down here that hasn't read. Who'd like to read? It doesn't matter. Go ahead. First Peter 6.
Honor Christ and let him be the Lord of your life. Always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about your hope.
Yes, always be. Mine goes, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the hope you have. So, again, I say, am I prepared or am I preparing myself to be used by God or to better society? Am I being faithful in my walk? Because that preparation process is part of being faithful. Okay? So let's look at the third parable. Alrighty. Who would like to read Matthew 14 through 30? Let's take a break in there, maybe 14 through 22 and maybe 23 through 30. Who hasn't read that would like to read? Have you read? Would you like to read the first half of that? And would you like to read the second half of that? Okay. So 14 through 22 and 23 through 30. This is the parable of the talents. So we've looked so far at actions. We've looked at preparations. And now we're going to look at efforts taken a little bit with what we've been given. So go ahead.
For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.
His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the one talent came. "Master," he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talents in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Thank you, both of you. So this third parable, what were the servants given? Okay. They were given money according to their ability. And this talents, and that was money. But it could be, we will broaden it out to more things in a minute. What mattered about the money they were given? Was it just free money here? Take? Okay, what was it about it?
Investing.
Okay. I would put they were entrusted to do something useful with it. Okay? It says that he entrusted his property to them. Okay? Now, let's look at the area in this time, the effort taken, the need to worry and rewards on this one right quick. Okay. What did the faithful servants do? Whoops. I realized I forgot to put to change that when I copied it down from prepared women. Sorry. That should be the just faithful servant again. Sorry about that. I copied these. I didn't even notice that after all this time. So, okay. So, what are we going to put under the effort taken here? What the faithful servants do?
Put the money to work.
You got it. Write that down. You got it. Put the money to work. What did the unfaithful servant do?
He hid it.
Okay. Who needed to worry? Unfaithful. Yes. Same as the other one. Now, let's look at the rewards a minute. It's very similar to the first one parable we looked at. What was the reward of that faithful servant? It increased, didn't it? He's going to have increased responsibility. In the first parable, it was put in charge of all. What about the unfaithful servant? What was his reward? Yeah, even what he had was taken away. So you can put took money away, threw him out. Okay. So let's, before we continue, the topic here in the parable is money. But we've been entrusted a lot of things. I like the word talent. And I want to go kind of kick off on that one. Because God has given us, or entrusted to us, just like it says his trust is property, he's entrusted us abilities and gifts according to his grace. So who'd like to read for me Romans 12:6? And I'm getting a little hot in here, so I'm going to take off my coat.
I took Romans 12:6.
Mm-hmm.
We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith.
Okay.
If it is serving. Okay, yeah. That's
yeah. It goes through serving, teaching, encouraging, a whole list of gifts there. Okay. So, this is a little introspective for you. It says, what abilities and gifts has God entrusted to you? And on your handout here, this means he has entrusted with us things that he has empowered us to do. Okay? Make sure you get that down. So he's entrusted us with things that he has empowered us to do. That doesn't mean we're doing them, but he's empowered us to do. Okay? So what abilities and gifts, the application is, has God entrusted to me? And you will have to fill out that blank. You may not have to put anything there today, but it's your blank to fill out. Okay? Because God has entrusted to each one uniquely according to his grace. Now, once you think about that, the next question is, am I doing something that is being faithful with what God has entrusted to me? Okay? Am I doing something, being faithful with what God has trusted to me? Have you taken time to do an inventory of just what God was entrusted to you? Now, we talked about this a little earlier in the first one, but many of us have dual roles that can be useful both in our daily life and Christian work. Someone read 1 Peter 4:10.
1 Peter 4:10. Mm-hmm. Each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms.
Okay. Read that one more time.
Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms.
Great. The gifts that God has given each one of us. Would anyone like to share maybe how they're using a gift that God has given us, how they're being faithful in it? I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but if anyone would like to share.
I was talking about Peter, he's an apostle.
Sorry, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, Peter.
Well, I think whenever I've done a gift profiling test,
mm-hmm.
Practical helps has been one of the gifts,
mm-hmm.
spiritual gift that has manifested from the test. And so I feel like for me, one of the gifts that God has entrusted me with is to help others practically,
mm-hmm.
To do logistics and so I have moving houses and just to see that, serve people in a way that see that mm-hmm. their practical needs are mm-hmm. met. Yes.
When I've done some of these things, I end up getting, depending on how broad of list the test is,
mm-hmm.
I usually rank pretty high up on, and you can imagine this, knowledge and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe you think maybe I shouldn't have ranked so high after mm-hmm. after some of this. But so I'm trying to sit here and use that gift, or use that ability, or to improve it. So the reason I went through these three parables is Jesus spent a lot of time talking about faithfulness, whether it's doing what you're told, taking something, as in this last parable, and being creative with it. They went out, I got this. They went out and earned five more. We're not told how they did it. We don't even know if the two guys did totally different things. They were entrusted with something, and they went and did it. Versus, I have this gift, and I just go bury it in a hole somewhere. And then the parable with the ten ladies in there. You know, if you're not prepared for something, there's a lot of ways you can't be faithful. You just can't. Okay? So let's spend a little bit of time now, in the time we have left, and let's look at some areas of our lives and some verses around it where we can be faithful in. Now, I got a lot of verses here, so you'll just bear with me. Does everyone have a Bible?
Yes.
Everyone have one? Okay. Let me go around and just go in order here. Romans 12, 12. We're going to look at first fours on the same subject. Colossians 4, 2. Luke 18, 1. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 17.
Yes?
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. Okay.
Romans 12, 13. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying.
Never stop praying. My translation says faithful in prayer. Some of them, this is fine. Never stop. So one part of faithfulness is continuing, but we're applying it to prayer. And let's look at some of the other ones on prayer.
Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful.
Devote yourselves to prayer. What's your verse?
Luke 18, 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that we ought always to pray and not lose heart.
Okay, so we should pray always expectantly. So we should be faithful in prayer and expect. What does your say?
First Thessalonians 4:17 says that we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them.
Is that? Oh, I must have given the wrong reference there. I was thinking. Look at 5:17.
Oh.
Look at 5:17. I realize I made a mistake in my...
Pray continually.
Uh-huh. What now?
Pray continually.
Pray continually. Okay. So a daily time of prayer, praying for things, maybe for God's help in someone else's life, to know Him. So we should be faithful in prayer. Let's look at another one. Let's go around here. Joshua 1:8 and Psalms 119, 15 and 16. If you could do Psalms 119, 15 and 16.
Joshua 1:8.
Mm-hmm. Many of y'all probably know that one. I'm not going to ask for someone to quote it. But if you want to, you could jump out.
It says, do not let this book of the Lord depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be blessed and be able to live it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Okay, so do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. So we need to have the Word of God ready all the time. What's your say?
So I'm reading Psalm 119, verse 15 and 16. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Okay. So being faithful, the opposite of it, could be neglect, right? Okay. So if we're not going to... We need to be faithful in spending time in the Word. So if we look at faithfulness, we're going to cover the character aspects of our lives as well as the spiritual disciplines in our lives. So I'm just going to walk through a few more. Philippians 4, 14 through 18. And while he's looking that up, can you look up Leviticus 19, 11 and Numbers 5 through 7. Each one of those is a different topic. I can repeat any of the references if you're interested. Yeah.
Philippians 4, 14 says that, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of our acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one charge shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for gifts, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more. I'm amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God.
Okay, so sometimes our faithfulness is to give even when others don't. Is to always be contributing. Now, in this case, it was money, but it could be anything in which we're called to give. Time, talent, or whatever. Okay, Leviticus 19:11.
Do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another.
Okay. If we were doing a talk on integrity, we could bring that one up, but I just want to say integrity toward others. Part of being faithful is that we have our integrity. Okay, you're not going to be trusted if you don't have that, right? What's yours?
Numbers
5-7.
The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way, and so is unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed. He must take full restitution for his wrong, add 1/5 to it, and give it all to the person he has wronged."
So when we wrong somebody, it basically says we're unfaithful to God. We have, there's a song out a long time back that talks about an audience of one. Remember, David says something about, against you and you only have I sinned? Okay, so faithfulness goes along with purity of not sinning against others. Okay, this goes along also with ministry. Who can quote me 2 Timothy 2:2? Go ahead.
And things that you have heard me say among many witnesses, and trust them to reliable men or faithful men, that they will be able to teach others also.
So, we are considering you faithful men because we're entrusting to you this knowledge and information, right? So, we want to entrust things to reliable or faithful men. Okay? So, in our ministry, so that's part of being faithful in ministry. Okay? One verse I've used, not so much in its context of giving. 2 Corinthians 8:9 talks about giving. But I like to use this verse for other things. The last one we'll do is in this part is 2 Corinthians 8:7. Could you read that one?
2 Corinthians 8:7. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving.
Now, Paul's asking them to excel in giving, but I like to think of all the areas together of what we ought to be excelling at as faithful for our ministry. It says again there, if I can reread it, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us. Think about being faithful in all those areas. Okay, to excel in all those areas. In faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us. I came across that verse when I was looking through 2 Corinthians to memorize some verses. And I've really liked it ever since. Let me give you a quick... we're going to finish a little bit early and get downstairs. This is the first time I've done this one, so I wasn't sure how long it was going to take. But let's look at who has heard of the guy named Epaphras? Is that a common guy to y'all?
Yes.
Hmm? Where's he talked about?
Colossians.
Okay. Let's look at two parts of it. Let's look at chapter 1 of Colossians. I didn't appreciate this guy until I started working on memorizing some passage, a little bit in Colossians here. Someone read for me. Well, why don't you start at verse 6? Because it kind of tells a little bit about what he did as well. Where did we leave off? Would you like to do verse 6? Emmanuel? I remember. I'm getting a few names down. Okay. Read 1, 6, and 7. Because there were a number of faithful men in the Bible.
Which one is 1, 6?
1, 6, and 7.
1, 6, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
That has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf.
Okay. He was a faithful minister of Christ. It says they heard and understood God's grace and all His truth. So I want to say they learned the gospel and the messages of God, because he was a faithful minister. And we'd like to do the same. Now, he not only told them the word of God. I need someone to turn. Let's turn over to Colossians 4. Okay. And let's read verses 12 and 13. When he was there, he ministered to them. When he left, let's see what else he did. Go ahead and read 4, 12 through 13.
Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. Always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear in him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis.
So it says here that he is always wrestling in prayer for you. So he's staying faithful to not only have I taught them the word, I'm going to continue to pray for their maturity and stuff. So he was a faithful minister while he was there, and he was faithful in prayer when he left. I like to think of him as a very good example of faithfulness. If you back up there, we're going to look at two more people right quick while we're in chapter 4. Who was reading that? Oh, well, you could. Would you like to, if you're already there, read 4, 7. I'll have you read verse 9 in a minute, but just give me a break between the two.
Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord.
Okay. So he is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. Paul entrusted Tychicus to be his messenger, and he said he was a faithful minister. Okay. And can you read verse 9 now?
He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here.
So a number of people here Paul has referred to as faithful. These were reliable men that he entrusted and taught. If you go through the book of Acts, some of these guys were with him as he traveled. Okay? So we want to be reliable men. I'd like to be able to say years from now that, or where they were saying I was coming, that here comes a faithful person. Okay? Let me look one more up, and if it's what I think it is, we'll do that, and then we'll shut down. Give me just a second. I was trying to pick and choose here. Uh, let's finish with looking at the Apostle Paul. Turn to 1 Timothy 1:12. I'll read that once you get there. This would be a great epitaph for your ministry. It says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. We'd like to be able to say that at the end of life, wouldn't you? Appointed me faithful. So your action item is to kind of go through where you're at, what you're doing, and decide, where am I being faithful? That is, what things do I need to keep doing? And maybe where am I unfaithful? And therefore, what do I need to change and or start doing in my life? Okay? So I hope you you can see the importance of faithfulness, how God spends a lot of time in his word talking about faithfulness in these parables, and that we want to be as ministers. All of us, in a sense, are being ministers now. We want to be reliable men, and entrust that to other reliable men. Okay? Any questions?
How many sectors do you have on
the
faithfulness part?
What now?
The examples of faithfulness.
Uh-huh.
You said you have them in clusters.
Well, I skipped. What now?
So maybe just mention a run through of that. Like, first we started with prayer, work in tech, went to giving, integrity, and what else did you leave off?
Well, we did sin against others. That was numbers. Since we got time, we could do a couple more. We did everything, basically 2 Corinthians 8:7, but some of the other ones I had was, would you like to turn to 1 Chronicles 5:25? I have a few more on my list if you're interested. They're just other areas. We did ministry, 2 Timothy 2:2. A couple, two others we didn't, three others we didn't do, but we'll do them right quick. And while he's looking at that, can you turn to Hebrews 13:4? Can you do Joshua 24:14? Yeah. Go ahead and read 1 Chronicles 5:25.
The 12 the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh were unfaithful to the God their ancestors had worshipped. And they started worshiping the gods of the nations that God had forced out of Canaan.
Okay. Anything that we put in the place of God, whether it's a physical idol, whether it's a person, whether it's money, idolatry is being unfaithful to God. The Israelites did it over and over and over. And God brought quite a lot of tribulation, even to the point of exiling the two kingdoms that Israel broke up into out of the promised land. So adultery is being unfaithful to God. So we don't want to put anything in front of God. Hebrews 13:4, another area of our life.
Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral.
Okay, so we need to be faithful in marriage. Okay, that's another aspect. And Joshua 24:14.
Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt.
Okay.
And serve the Lord.
That one has idolatry in it, but I was focusing on serving God. We need to be faithful on serving God. So we've looked at prayer, word, giving, integrity, sins against others, which is being unfaithful to God. I mentioned the audience of one for our sins. Idolatry, putting anything in front of God. marriage, the most important relationship God has given us, which is a picture of Him and His church. Ministry, being reliable men, serving God. And then the 2 Corinthians 8:7, which kind of, just as you excel in everything. Okay? So faithfulness to me encompasses our whole approach to life, if you get what I mean. Either we're faithful in a lot of things, or we tend to be unfaithful in a lot of things. Because it tends to impact all different areas of our lives. Okay? Anything else? I hope that was useful to you. And gives you some stuff to look at and think about, and verses to look at and think about. Okay, we got about 3 or 4 minutes to get downstairs.